The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn, joined by Mick Norton, to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Obviously, we've just reached the end of the Cheltenham Open meeting. As we record this, we're just before racing starts on the Sunday. But by the time you hear this, racing will have finished, which is a shame. But it will allow for a period of reflection. There'll be the Monday jury on tomorrow's podcast, where we'll look back at any clues from the weekend. But we're going to preview three races at Wolverhampton on this edition of the podcast. Slight change of tack, I think it's fair to say. How are you, Mr. Norton?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex.
Good. Obviously, it is very different going from 3 days at Cheltenham to a card on the flat at Wolverhampton. But there's still winners to be found.
You say that, yeah. But, I mean, I thought there was some fantastic all-weather action at Lingfield yesterday. Really good performances from very good horses who weren't keeping an eye on as they ply their trade. Probably, maybe not through all the winter months because there won't be the races for them. But you know, horses like Big Baz and Battalion were very, very impressive, as well as Intransigent, of course, who could well go back there for that big race on Good Friday.
It's a strange one because there's almost. You have horses that run on the turf exclusively, yeah, and then horses that come into their own on the winter.
Yeah.
Well, at least, say, Big Baz and Battalion. Maybe Battalion hasn't been quite at his best this year, but they're two horses that are known for their turf exploits, for being consistent on the turf. Strange in a way that they'd go for a target like this, but do you think that'll be it for them for the season? Or if you were training them, would you be thinking, well, hang on, they've shown quite a liking for this?
Yeah, I just don't know whether there's going to be any races for him until... Mm-hmm. You know, whenever the
winter derby, don't you?
Yeah, that sort of thing. So yeah, he might just have to tick over during the winter months. And because I don't think, unless they go abroad somewhere, there's going to be nothing for him, is there?
Not really. Mm. Nothing of any substance.
But having said that, with the Dubai scenario now, Polytrack, as opposed to the old surface, Dapita, maybe they might even consider that.
Yeah, possibly.
He's certainly good enough to go, isn't he?
Yeah. Definitely. Of course, there was good action at Lingfield yesterday. That almost got pushed under the carpet a little bit.
Yeah, it did, because, you know, with everything else going on, I just thought it was worthy of a mention, because it would have stood up on its own. If that had been today, that would have been a highlight, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that Lingfield card.
That is very true. Or indeed on Monday, where the action looks pretty desperate. In terms of Saturday's action, we'll just briefly touch on the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Cad de Burleigh was your winner at 10-1, from John Spirit at 8, Present View the 5-1 favourite in 3rd, Oscar Whiskey in 4th, and Bywise back in 5th.
Looked a grueling race. I just wonder what sort of mark it might have left on the principals who...
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 5-6 with a chance.
Well...
Jumping the second last.
John Spirit... you'd imagine has been completely laid out for that race. That was almost one of his big targets for the year.
But he was just handicapped out of it, wasn't
he? Yeah.
Handicapped and nailed it.
But he ran a superb race.
Fantastic.
Was unlucky to get collared. A really good ride from Sam Tristan Davies, who, of course, well, he had such a good day yesterday, didn't he?
Brilliant.
He's had a good few days, actually.
Brilliant. And it wasn't as if the horses were taking him there. He was doing the proactive stuff.
Yeah, he was.
And doing it at a crucial time in the race, on both of his winners, Sam Winner especially.
Present View back in third. I mean, you look at the prices, 10s, 8s, 5-1, 6-1, 7-1, shows what you'd imagine the form's going to be pretty solid from this one.
As long, as I say, if the race doesn't leave its mark. It was a pretty grueling race from half a mile out. They were absolutely flat out. So I'll be just interested to see when something comes out of the Paddy Power.
No, I mean, watching the race, because I had a small bet on Oscar Whiskey, and like you said, they went so quick so early. Oscar Whiskey got taken off his feet, and he's not a slow horse, but got taken off his feet and then stayed on again at the end. It was one of those races where at one point in the race, you could have given, as you said, sort of 8 or 9 a really, really good chance. They were all sort of travelling at one point, then all of a sudden none of them were, and Canterbury in the end was just sort of in front when it mattered, wasn't he? It sounds basic, but it was almost, you know, when the music stopped, he was the one who was...
I think you have to upgrade the performance of Present View, because he was the only one of the pace setters who managed to stay there. All the others came from off the pace, whereas Present View had been banging away the whole of the race and only got, you know, just got headed over the last and still kept on at the run-in. It was a tremendous performance by Present View. And he's only... I just wonder if they might think about... going back in trip with him.
Maybe.
Riding him like that, going back in trip. I think there's a dearth of 2 mile chasers around now.
But Woods, in better races? Because I'd say the handicap will have him over Shorter now.
I think he will. Yeah, I think he'd probably. I mean, what did he run off yesterday? It was a fairly stiffish mark. He'll probably go up again for that, won't he?
Do you think he could potentially run, say, on Sunday before we're recording this, the Schlur Chase? Do you think that could be a potential target?
I don't think he'd have a problem the way he travelled.
Okay. That's listed, isn't it?
Yeah.
That
one. The way he travelled in the race, I don't think he'd have a problem going back in trip.
Okay. Very interesting.
And he jumps so well. You see, that's a big plus.
Yeah.
You've got a horse who we know stays further, jumps and travels well.
Yeah, you can have a lot of fun with him out in front, can't you?
You can take the sting out of them halfway around, can't you?
Mm.
And you know, no matter how good they are, that's where you can do the damage. And... you know, I know it's not races to run at different tempos, but it'd have certainly been hard to beat if that race had been 2 miles yesterday, wouldn't it?
That is true. Very true indeed. Okay, we're going to look at 3 races at Wolverhampton then.
Just to change the subject.
Yeah, completely and utterly. The 3:10, the 4:40 and the 5:10.
Yeah.
We've already touched on Monday's action. It's not the strongest.
No.
But that doesn't mean that you can't back winners, and a 3-2 winner at Wolverhampton is the same
I'll
as
tell
one
you what,
Cheltenham.
The races I looked at, you know, I was amazed just how complex they are.
Well, we'll start with the 3:10. It's a handicap over an extended 2 mile trip. 13 runners going to post for this stamina sapping contest, and plenty of them arrive here in good form. You've got the likes of Ralston Lass, who's completely and utterly consistent, struggles to get ahead in front, but did last time. You've got plenty of horses like that, the likes of Winter Leap, Jan Smuts, Leyline, all arrive here in good nick. Calamity's been in good form. Mr. Bob, absolutely. Although he actually has been winning races.
That's the thing. And
is that the key to the race, do you think?
Well, I think so. He made his first visit to Wolverhampton and winning one last time, which made it 3 wins from his last 4 starts. He was visually very impressive. I had a look back at the race again when I was working on it. And he absolutely... cruised into the lead, looked as if he'd just joined in at halfway under a motionless Ted Durkin, quick and clear under Hands and Heels to win Causally from the furlong pole. Mixed messages from the 4, but it's not all doom and gloom. There's winners come out of it, hurdles winners and placed horses and stuff like that. So it's not doom and gloom, the 4, but visually he won as he liked. And the £7 weight rise is unlikely to bother him if the race is run at the same tempo. His regular partner Ted Durkin's missing, but Graham Lee is an able substitute because Graham has won on him in the past. So no problems there. And I think he's going to be very, very hard to beat. Still off a mark of 69 for a horse who won 3 of his last 4.
What about the main dangers then? I've said that there's quite a few
the two
chances
fillies,
to.
I think. Ralston Lass, you touched on. She's she went up for that 6 length, £7 for that 6 length course and distance last time, which was probably fair enough. It was class 5, so she's up a grade. But she's an informed filly who's ultra consistent, as you touched on. And I bet Stephen Powell will be all over her like a rash on Monday, Ralston Lass. And who's to say she won't be able to back up? And the other mare, Hell Hath No Fury. Hayley Turner rides for Michael Appleby. Hayley's coming in for quite a few rides for Michael Appleby while Andy Mullen recovers from his operation. Saint Mark, she can run off Hillarth No Fury. Is that Pontefract third to Madame Lilibet, who won over hurdles next time? Mm. You know, just giving the form
it's an informed type. Absolutely. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
And she's definitely on the upgrade, this filly, since they stepped her up in trip. And if she takes a liking to the Tapita, I think she's got a huge chance. It's a really good race. And, you know, there's horses there that we haven't even mentioned, but they're the three against the field. Mr. Bob and the two fillies, Ralston Lass and Hellhath No Fury. I can't go against Master Bob, having watched him win so easily last time. He's got to go and do it off a £7 higher mark, but I think I'll stay with him until it looks as if the handicap has got him.
OK, Mr. Bob, the pick in the 3.10 from Wolverhampton. Next up is the 4.40. So next race we're going to look at, Division 1 of a handicap over 7 furlongs. We'll get to Division 2 shortly. 9 runners going to post for this Class 4 event. You've got a mixture of potentially well-handicapped horses, consistent horses, and the unexposed one, which I suppose we'll start with, is Dries here, Mick.
Yeah, interesting runner, Dries, isn't it? Dries is probably likely to take plenty out of the market, having looked very progressive in the spring, including 2 wins here on the old surface. Been missing since running quite respectably, actually, in a Class 3 contest at Yarmouth in June. And his proven ability to run well fresh after a break will be a big plus. And he rates a danger to all if he resumes where he left off. He's a lightly raced 3-year-old who could have more to come. Luke Morris riding for trainer James Tate.
Mm, OK, what about the others that caught your eye here then?
Yeah, first experience has run very well. All 5 starts since mid-July. And showed last time at Kempton when a close 4th of 14 behind Katiba, which is, I think, fairly strong form in the context of this, that artificial surfaces are very much her thing. She's gone close off similar marks in the past, suggesting a 77 may not be beyond her, and she has probably fewer question marks than many of her rivals. And again, a good jockey booking. Graham Lee's been booked by Ray Guest to ride first experience, who much happier back on an artificial surface. And I know it's a Tapita debut. I can't see that being a problem for him.
OK.
And the other one I like is Ajali. Now, another one of Michael Appleby's Hayley rides again. Looks set for a lucrative winter after an eye-catching reappearance after 102 days off under a £7 claimer late last month. His turf exploits running into that don't do him justice, as he's much, much better on an artificial surface. And he was only beaten ahead off a pound higher mark here in March. He comes from a yard in form, and at his likely price, he could well reward each way support. Hard to see him not being involved. Mm. And a horse to follow over the coming weeks and months, Ajali.
Okay.
Ajali. But I'm just going to give the vote to first experience. But you know, I think the other two I've put up as the shortlist are very interesting indeed.
OK, but first experience, the pick.
First experience.
In the 4.40, the final race is the 5.10. It's Division 2 of the same handicap over the extended 7 furlong trip. 9 runners going to post again. And similar to the first one, you've got horses that are out of form but well handicapped. You've got a few that are consistent, likes of Ambitious Boy, Two Moons, although Two Moons hasn't run for a while now. One that caught my eye was the Confessor, purely because it's a horse that I have followed, not off the edge of a cliff, but one that I do follow, yeah, and has slipped to a really, really potentially attractive mark. But it's one of those races you could give chances to a lot of them.
I tell you what, it's a good job they split this, because it would have taken some sorting if
if it was a 14 runner one. Yeah, you'd struggle.
Blimey. Well, we'll start with Ambitious Boy. Although his marks crept into the 80s for the first time, he does have experience of the Tapita, which is his main dangers lack.
Mm.
And his stable are in good form as well. Andrew Hollinshed, they're, you know, either winning or running well. And up in trip, no problem. I mean, he wasn't stopping last time at the end of that 6 furlongs. In fact, I think he'd probably be even more effective over this 7. And I think he's going to take all the beating, especially with that valuable experience of the Tapita surface. Cool Bahamian rates a good mention, though. John Fye riding for Eve Johnson Houghton. Only £3 higher than that last win. 11-runner handicap at Kempton 19 days ago. Tapita debut, and only his third all-weather starts. So it looks to me as though this horse is going to be a real artificial surface performer. He's only having his third start. He won last time at Kempton on his second one. On the other one, he was a close fifth in a class three on his only other start on the artificial surface, for a mark of 85, and he's off 80 here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not to be underestimated by any means, Cole Bahamian. So keep an eye on him. Don't know how the market will react to his chance, but definitely the dark horse of the race, if you like, is Two Moons, who making his debut for Brian Ellison since leaving Tony Coyle. As you said, Alex, it was 151 days ago, but he's got a decent enough profile fresh. And Brian Ellison, a very astute trainer, and he knows how to win. He's still relatively unexposed. He joined a very good yard. And if Cherry Ripe, after 151 days off on his Tapita debut, and there seems to be confidence in the ring behind him, you've nearly got to give him a great each-way shout. It's a good division two, this. They both have got plenty going for them, these two divisions. As I say, it would have taken some sorting out if they hadn't split it. It's no gimme as it is. I'm going to stay with Ambitious Boy, as I think his experience of the Tapita will be priceless.
Okay, Ambitious Boy then. In the Lucky Last, the five to not the Lucky Last, the Lucky Last for us at least. There's one more after that on the day. Okay, Mick, can you just spin us through your three fancies at Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon?
Okay, the 2 miles, extended 2 miles at 3:10. Mr. Bob, I've got to stay with him until it looks as though the handicapper has nailed him. And although Ted Durkin, who has been on board of late, is absent, Graham Lee has won on him in the past, and the way he won last time, visually so impressive. The 440, the first division of the 7 furlong handicap, I think first experience can give Graham Lee a double. Has been in good form since mid-July, and showed last time at Kempton when a close fourth of 14 to Katiba that the artificial surfaces is her thing. So first experience in the 440, and a horse that's already won on the Tapita, Ambitious Boy, in the 5:10.
Okay, great stuff, Mick. Best luck with all those picks and enjoy Monday's racing.
Thank you, Alex. Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.